a political setback delays a new EAA president. Aspen Avionics enters the rotorcraft market. And Flight Design is developing a hybrid aircraft power plant. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. The Oshkosh forecast today is for rain to taper somewhat in the afternoon, but with a chance of thunderstorms persisting through at least 10 p.m. So I guess we won't run out of sunscreen after all. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, July 30th, 2009. One of the big announcements we thought might happen during AirVenture Week has nothing to do with FADEC or LSAs. It was expected and rumored that we might hear who had been chosen by a screening committee to replace Tom Poberesny as president of the Experimental Aircraft Association. By way of background, EAA founder and chairman Paul Poberesny retired last winter. Son Tom Poberesny was named the new chairman of the board in early March, on top of his duties as president, and a search was begun for Tom's replacement as president. Aero News has learned from sources close to the process that the search had settled on Pete Bunce, the current president of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, as EAA's new president, a choice that was to have been announced as early as this week. In his opening day comments to reporters on Monday, Tom Poberesny discounted the likelihood that announcement would come during the event, and now ANN has learned that plans have unraveled. Bunce has pulled his name from consideration, and on the agenda for this morning's EAA board meeting is the restarting of the search process. The leadership of EAA by the Poberesnys for over a half century obviously turned out pretty well, but transitioning an organization such as EAA out of a family obviously involves some unique politics. EAA also faces the now awkward task of closing a deal with a candidate who knows that he or she was not the first choice. We'll tell you more as it all unfolds. Aspen Avionics is here at AirVenture and announced this week it will expand its novel line of glass panel systems into rotorcraft. The EFD-1000 Pro Helicopter Primary Flight Display is the first in the line and already available for installation. The display offers a large attitude indicator with airspeed and attitude tapes, an altitude alerter, and altitude trend vector. It also includes a full electronic HSI with dual bearing pointers and symbolic moving map with flight plan waypoints and leg overlays. When connected to a GPS navigator, the Pro Helicopter PFD also presents a full-time visual indicator of winds aloft direction and speed. CEO John Uzakai says the folks at Aspen, quote, look forward to extending our rotary wing solutions and customer base in the years to come, unquote. A couple weeks ago, when I got to spend some time in Arlington with Flight Design USA President Tom Pagini, he was excited about two things. One was an electric hybrid drive for an aircraft engine based on the Rotax 914. He said aircraft were an ideal application for a short-duration electric boost from an auxiliary electric motor during takeoff, then using excess power from the gasoline power plant during cruise to recharge the lithium phosphate battery. Well, on Tuesday here at Oshkosh, we got to see the whole package on a display stand, and it's a surprisingly clean firewall-forward package. The 40-horsepower electric motor boasts an efficiency of 95%. It boosts the 914 for 1.5 to 2 minutes during takeoff and initial climb through a V-belt drive, then turns into a generator after you level off and uses excess power from the 914 to bring the battery back up during cruise. The electric motor can extend the glide significantly in the case of an engine out, and the whole thing functions seamlessly with single-lever control of a combined power output. This is not an LSA power plant. Tom told me he believes the 914 or something similar could be configured to contribute 140 horsepower, making the whole package capable of 180 peak. That's smack in the middle of 0360 country. Basically enough power for an efficient four-place aircraft. Flight Design hopes to be flying the package in an experimental later this year. And what was that other thing Tom was excited about? Well, let's just say it was another application for that 40-horsepower electric motor. At Arlington, he said he'd bring it to Oshkosh if he completed its first flight in time. Well, apparently he did. It's here, and it's parked over in the ultralight area. More on that to come. Up next on ANN, Remus Aircraft gets new financing and a new plan. Hawker Beechcraft now has a bonanza that lands itself, and Bell Helicopter gets a new CEO. You're listening to Aero News.
Fly wise with the compelling new Piper Matrix. Climb the air stair and you feel it. More space, more range, more power with unpressurized simplicity. Maximum cruise speed, 213 knots true airspeed. Range, 1,000 nautical miles. Useful load, 1,421 pounds. Operating ceiling, 25,000 feet. The Piper Matrix, compellingly priced at $819,000. To learn more about the Matrix, visit us at Oshkosh Booths 140 through 143 and 158 through 161.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 30th from Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'm Paul Plack. It's been hard to miss Remus Aircraft at AirVenture this year. It was clear from the extent of the company's presence that there was probably some new financial backing afoot. And Remus confirmed in a Tuesday press briefing that the infusion from Pall Mall Partners of London was significant. Ken Weaver, the company's new VP of Marketing, announced that Remus is embarking on a pilot center development program expected to have 20 locations up and running in the U.S. this year. They'll include a comprehensive training structure, flight training devices, partnerships with GLIME educational products, and partnerships with the Pilot Journey website that connects potential flight students with flight schools. Remus CEO Corvin Huber says the funding and the pilot centers are evidence of innovative experiential marketing, modeled after an approach used successfully by Audi automobiles. Huber says Remus needs to, quote, become relevant to the world outside aviation, unquote. Hawker Beechcraft Corporation announced on Tuesday that a Beechcraft Bonanza completed a flight and safe landing with an experimental auto landing device demonstrated in collaboration with Rockwell Collins. This UAV-like technology promises airplanes that can safely land themselves should the pilot become incapacitated. The tests were part of HBC's program to explore and develop advanced flight control technologies for future use in general aviation airplanes. The company says the modified Bonanza conducted a series of hands-off landings during a test campaign at HBC's headquarters in Wichita. The plane carried a crew of three to observe and monitor system operation and to be there in case live human intervention was required. Rockwell Collins engineers customized an Athena 411 flight control system for the Bonanza platform, and HBC engineers integrated it into the airplane's fly-by-wire system. More testing is planned. Following settlement of a strike at its plant in the Fort Worth, Texas area, Textron has announced a change at the top of Bell Helicopter. CNBC is reporting that John L. Garrison Jr. is the new CEO, effective when current CEO Richard Milman retires on August 1st. This will be Garrison's first aviation position with Textron. He has served as president of the industrial segment of the business and is credited with leading process improvements and significant product launches in that division, which includes the EasyGo golf carts you see everywhere here at Oshkosh and also Jacobson Turf Care products. Textron also announced that Frank T. Connor will be the new chief financial officer. CNBC reports he's a former executive at Goldman Sachs, where he was managing director in charge of telecom investment banking. Still ahead, NTSB blames a bird strike for a fatal 2008 accident. L3 Avionics Systems scores an important TSO. And can an oil company be a corporate angel? You're listening to Aero News.
Introducing the TWX-670 Tactical Weather Detection System. Avadyne's new TWX-670 is a third-generation lightning-based weather detection system that provides a simple and intuitive color-contoured display with an instantaneous picture of surrounding weather. Check us out online at www.avadyne.com or call 1-800-AVADYNE.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back here in the Oshkosh rain to wrap up your aero briefing for Thursday, July 30th. I'm Paul Platt. The National Transportation Safety Board announced on Tuesday that the probable cause of a 2008 crash of a Cessna 500 in Oklahoma City was airplane wing structure damage sustained during impact with one or more American white pelicans, resulting in a loss of control. Five people on board that plane died. Acting Chairman Mark Rosenker added, quote, "While the board has determined that it was the bird strike that brought down this airplane, this investigation also uncovered improper and non-compliant charter operations that should have been identified and discontinued by the FAA," unquote. NTSB urges the FAA to revise bird strike certification requirements for transport category airplanes so that protection from in-flight impact with birds is consistent across all airframe structures. Other recommendations include calling for more stringent verification of airport wildlife hazard assessments and reporting of wildlife strikes. L3 Avionics Systems says it's received TSO authorization and an approved model list STC from the FAA for its new Trilogy ESI-1000 electronic standby instrument. Trilogy is designed as a backup for glass cockpit avionics in Part 23 aircraft. The instrument's on display at EAA AirVenture in Hangar C, Booth 3100. Larry Riddle, VP of Business Development for L3, observes, quote, "The AML-STC allows the Trilogy ESI to be installed in a variety of cockpits. We're looking forward to seeing numerous all-glass piston and turboprop aircraft in the skies, something Trilogy makes possible for the first time," unquote. Trilogy combines attitude, altitude, airspeed, and optional heading data on a clear 3.7-inch diagonal active matrix LCD display. It operates independently of primary avionics, mounts in a standard 3-ATI hole, and can be configured to display data in a format closely resembling your primary system. And finally today, Chevron Global Aviation has donated $25,000 to Corporate Angel Network in support of the charity's efforts on behalf of cancer patients. CAN arranges free flights to treatment for these patients using the empty seats on business aircraft. Keith Sawyer, Chevron's General Manager for General Aviation, commented, quote, "Sometimes there is a little good news in the life of a person who suffers from cancer. The organization we are honoring with this donation is often the bearer of this good news. Corporate Angel Network clears away some of the worry, discomfort, and extra cost of distant travel for treatment that so many cancer patients must endure," unquote. Chevron has been supporting CAN since 2001, with donations totaling more than $200,000. Could this possibly be the same evil corporations Washington keeps telling us are using business aircraft only as unjustified executive perks? And it's an oil company to boot. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll get an update and status report on the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators from Chairman Doug Stewart. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.